Welcome back to the Power Hour. If you're just now joining us, we are in the middle of a fantastic discussion. Well, really, just listening to John Barber. His book, Your Mother's Not a Virgin, fantastic, thick, just full of all kind of stories, all kind of different anecdotes from the life of John Barber. Really an amazing story. Before we go further, we're going to pick up about Red Fox. I just want to ask you a quick question.
Sure.
Your outlook on life and the way you've attacked life, I guess, is a good way to describe it. You know, you said, oh, I love movies. I love Hollywood. At the end, everyone said made in Hollywood, so I wanted to go to Hollywood. Or you just did it. Do you think that the fact that you weren't, quote-unquote, educated and that it made you have no limits in your life kind of a way? Because I see so many students, especially nowadays, school is almost a limiting factor instead of a accelerating factor for people. The fact that you were not involved with education so much, quote unquote, did that kind of open your mind and leave you free, more free, do you think?
What a wonderful question. And I think you're absolutely right in that respect. I guess because the fact that I missed my father so much, the fact that he taught me to count and he taught me the alphabet, I've always, my best friend has been my mind. And I've always loved intellectual pursuits. I love intellectuals. I love talent. I'm an absolute huge, huge fan of talent. And I remember when my son was 12 years of age, I've met three geniuses in my life. One, of course, was Jim Garrison. The other was a scientist, Buckminster Fuller. And, of course, my son. And when my son was 12, he said to me, he said, Dad, he said, why don't you let me swear? And I said, you can swear all you want once you know what the words mean. I said, I'm not preventing you from swearing. I never said anything about that. And then he asked me, well, why wouldn't you let me smoke dope or anything like that? I said, have I ever said anything to you about smoking dope? I've never said a word. He said, I know, but you think that way. I said, listen, son, let me tell you something. The reason I never did any of that, first of all, my mother was such an alcoholic, a falling down drunk. She was one of my greatest examples in life of what not to be. So that's the reason I never drank. And the other reason I never drank or took pot or anything like that is because I needed my mind, because that was the only way that I was going to survive in this life. If you are having problems, let's say you're happy and you smoke dope, it does not increase your happiness. It actually dulls the nerve ends. And let's say you're depressed and you take dope. The problem is increased because the problem has not gone away. It's just gotten bigger and you've added the bigger problem of dope. And then he said to me, well, why would you want me to go to college? And I said, did I ever tell you you had to go to college? Even though he was recruited by Harvard, Princeton, Yale, and Stanford, all four of them. He was an honor athlete, so they all wanted him. But I said to him, I said, listen, son, the only reason I've ever said that at one time I wish I had gone to school is not for the learning. It was for the companionship. I have no friends. I have none. You're my friend. And I have one or two friends in show business, Red Fox and your mother, and that's it. I have no friends. And, of course, people are social, and I would miss that. But I'm going to tell you something. If you, and now my son was the Caucasian Tiger Woods, as I said, and he shot his first competitive 69 when he was 13. He beat Bobby May and Phil Mickelson. I said, listen, if you do not need the country's seal of approval to be a doctor or a lawyer or an accountant, and you have a talent or a skill that you love, don't go to college. You don't need it. It'll get in your way. It'll distract you. It'll slow you down. And if you look at some of the greatest artists and writers in the world, they never went to college. None of them. So that was the word to my son. Now, we left off, right?
Well, you're easy to interview. You do the, you ask the questions that you picked right up. That's good. You were left off with Harlan.
We left off with, Harlan Ellison wanted my show.
Yes.
Now, and then you had to take your commercial break. Well, the thing is, I am such a fan of talent and intelligence, even if I don't agree with what the people are saying, if they can articulate their beliefs, I will have them on the show. And it makes for great radio or great television. Every show I got after that, I got five more talk shows after that. Every show I got, the first person I booked was Harlan Ellison. And if you go to johnbarbersworld.com and you Google the late night show on ABC, the Barber Report, you'll see it, not a brilliant interview with Harlan Ellison. But get this, because of that, really smart people would contact me. And one of them became a close friend for years, and that was Frank Zappa. And if you go to my site and you Google the Barber Report or the lost interview with Frank Zappa, it has had in 4 months 100,000 views. That's how smart Zappa was, and that's how hungry America is to listen to bright people, which you cannot find in television anymore.
Why is that? John, why is that? Why can you not find that on television?
I can tell you, it's very obvious. I will get into an extended version of that in a minute, but I'm going to tell you the Red Fox story because you asked me about the Red Fox story. My second show, I wanted to have Red Fox on. And management said, oh my God, the guy is filthy. He does these party records and, you know, John, I would be careful about that. So I thought, well, yeah, I still am going to book him because I knew the guy was one of the brightest people I ever met. I mean, when he first heard, for example, about Jim Garrison taking on the federal government over the assassination when he accidentally was forced to read the Warren Report, Red Fox called him a hero, but this is how he described it. He said, John, heroes ain't born. They're cornered. That is so, well, he had that kind of wit. He and Jackie Mason were two of the cleanest, wittiest people I ever met. But, of course, Red had to make a living on the Chitlin circuit, so it was dirty material. So I was so determined to have him on the show that I booked all other comics. I booked Charo, you know, the Gucci Gucci girl.
Yes.
I Rip Taylor, the crying comedian. And then I picked a great Catskills comic. I can't remember his name offhand, but he was very famous. He was on the Ed Sullivan Show all the time. And the last comic I picked was Red Fox. Now, I knew Red Fox's act, and I also knew the clean stuff in his act. So when I introduced him, he surprised me. You know what the Scots wear, the slacks that they wear when they play golf? Do you know what they're called?
No, I don't.
You know when they roll up the bottom of the slacks and they put their socks there? They're called knickers.
Knickers, yes.
Red Fox surprised me. And I introduced him. I said that he was one of my closest friends. I told the audience he was my mentor. And I said, actually, one of the wittiest and funniest and most observant people I know, which is true. Now, everybody, of course, was afraid because he was dirty. So he walks out. He walks straight toward the audience. He didn't come to sit next to me. He walks straight up to the audience, stands in front of them, and points down at his knickers. And he said, I bet you never thought you'd saw knickers on this show. They howled. So then he came, and he sat down. And I said to him, because I knew his act, I said, Red, what do you think about the Black Power movement that's going on in this country today? And he said, I don't care about Black Power. And I don't care about no power, white power, black power. I only cares about green power, because you guys are green. You can buy the places where the whites and blacks hold their meetings. So I said to him, now this was an ad lib, and I'm sorry I said it because I didn't know what the answer would be. And I said, Red, why do you think money is colored green? Without missing a beat, he said, that's because Jews pick it before it gets ripe. Well, it was the biggest laugh ever heard in television. We couldn't even continue the show. People were falling out of their seats and slapping the ground. And when the laughter subsided, Rip Taylor got up and he pulled out a $20 bill and waved it, and the laughter would start all over again. So anyway,
Gosh, that's funny. I loved Red Fox. I love Red Fox.
Yes, and Red went on as a result of that to do Sanford and Son. And the thing is that Sanford is his real name. His real name is John Sanford, born in St. Louis, and he was in prison with Malcolm X. I mean, he was wonderful. But in any event, Norman Lear saw him, and that's how, and Norman Lear had bought Steptoe and Son, which was a big comedy hit in England, and put Red in it. And he called himself Fred because his brother had died. So in deference to his dead brother, he called himself Fred Sanford. And so that's how it began. And then years later, when he was having trouble because he wanted more money and he wanted a dressing room with windows and stuff like that, when he disappeared, he came to our house. And Red Fox was the only lifelong friend that I had in show business. I had two other long friends. Of course, one of them was Neil Simon, who did the liner notes to my second album. And he said it was the least successful writing he ever did. And then, of course, Harlan Ellison, who was going to write the original introduction to my book. So I had very few friends in the business. And you know what? I was never hurt by an enemy. I was only hurt by friends.
Oh, that's sad. Let me go back to a question we asked before, and then let's go forward on some of the other people in show business, like Frank Sinatra, what have you. Why is TV in the state it's in? Why is there no intelligence? Why is there no abstract thought or provocative thought on TV anymore?
Oh, that is such a wonderful question, and it's so absolutely true. So there are a number of ways that I can answer that, and I'll begin personally. When Real People got on the air, the best television critic in America was a guy named Gary Deeb. He was syndicated by the Chicago Tribune. He was the guy that said in the 1970s, he said, television is the only business in America where competition does not improve the product. And so when I got Real People on the air, he lauded it because it was such a magnificent show. Listen, we got the story that I did of a teacher in New Mexico whose son was killed 1 week after he went to Vietnam. The story I did about the private memorial that he built to his son was responsible for getting the Vietnam Wall Memorial built in Washington, D.C. People do not remember. It's the most visited site in America now, but people forget the fact nobody ever wanted it. It was designed by an Asian woman. They didn't want that. It was an unpopular war. They didn't want that. But when Senator Udall saw my story, he called and asked for 50 copies of the story so he could show it to his fellow senators. And 60 days later, they approved the wall. We got the presidential citation from Ronald Reagan for the Navajo code talkers. And my story of John Walsh and searching for the killers of his son, Adam, got the Missing Children's Act passed. So this show was a bigger force in improving America than 60 Minutes was in 35 years. And Gary Deeb was aware of this, so he called me the godfather of reality television. Now, for Real People, Daniel, I will take those bows. Because in that day, you had to have a modicum of talent, and have a modicum of intelligence and be personable. If you had those assets today, you could not get on American television. There would be a hindrance. Because all it takes to be a reality star in America today is an absence of shame. Ooh. Now, the decline came because it was all political. And it all began with how brilliant Jim Garrison was. When Jim Garrison arrested Clay Shaw in 1967 and said, "We've solved the case, the CIA murdered him," not only did he investigate Shaw and Ferry and Oswald, he investigated the origins of the Central Intelligence Agency. Well, we had 24 intelligence agencies. Why did we need that one? And the reason he said we needed that one is because they wanted to change the hearts and minds of Americans regarding American foreign policy, because Russia was no threat to the United States, having lost 25 million people. And he said, Eisenhower warned us of the military-industrial complex, and the biggest danger to America was not Russia, it was peace. And so we had to create perpetual fake wars, as Gore Vidal called it, and as George Orwell called it. And the first fake war, of course, now, so what they did is they create the Central Intelligence Agency, and the Central Intelligence Agency creates a project called Project Mockingbird.
Yes.
And what they're going to do is they're going to infiltrate and become part of every major media in America. And they were CBS and NBC, Reader's Digest, every newspaper in America and radio station and television station had all their news written for them by the CIA to create fake wars. And in 1970s, we in the film, you see Frank Church, he gets the head of the CIA to admit that 400 CIA agents are writing the news for American television. Now, get this. When John Kennedy was murdered, a company could only own 5 television or 5 radio stations or 5 newspapers. There were 1,500 different owners of media in America at that time. But the worst president in the history of this country, Bill Clinton, not an opinion, a fact, he signed NAFTA, which destroyed our economy by sending jobs overseas. He repealed Glass-Steagall, a law enacted by FDR to save capitalism from socialism and to save people from Wall Street and their gambling, which created the Depression. Well, in repealing that, we had the 2008 recession. I lost a $1 million home, and millions of other people lost their homes, and nobody went to prison. But the worst that he did, in 1996, he signed the Communications Act, which turned 95% of all our media over to 6 monopolistic corporations, all doing business with the military-industrial complex and the government. Now, the reason I did the second documentary, The American Media and the Second Assassination of John Kennedy, is because when Donald Trump was running for office with the other candidates, he brought up fake news. And he began to sound like Jim Garrison. And I thought, my God, he sounds familiar. So I went back to the 3 hours of interview that I did with Garrison on September 5th, 1981, and there he sounded like Donald Trump. So I decided this story has to be told, and that's why I made that movie. Now, Donald Trump, I have a feeling, is probably going to get a second term. But if he wants to make America great, as he keeps saying, because it's not great now, and if America was great at one time, it was during the Second World War. Is America only great when it's at war? Is that why we have all these fake wars? I mean, Vietnam was a fake war with the Gulf of Tonkin. Of course, 1.5 million people marched against going into Iraq because there were no weapons of mass destruction. Another fake war. Now the largest fake war is terrorists. And they have no land, so we have nobody to invade. We're told they're fake terrorists all over the place. And we are being continually misinformed. Because Mark Twain said it's easier to fool people than to convince them they have been fooled. And we've been fooled since November 22nd, 1963. So all Donald Trump has to do is take his pen. He doesn't have to take a bomb or a drone, his pen, and reverse the Communications Act. Do not let any individual or corporation own more than 7 television stations in America. Now, we may end up having 1,500 people again doing that, and it'll look like the Internet. Now, to me, the Internet is a bunch of nuts and a bunch of corn. It's like a box of Cracker Jack. But once in a while, there's a great prize inside the Internet. And that's where most people are getting their decent news. We cannot have a functioning democracy, as John Kennedy and Thomas Jefferson say at the top of the film, unless we have an informed electorate. And we are being kept uninformed by the President of the United States right now, unless he reverses the Communications Act, which he may do in his second term. Look at, we all know this Jeffrey Epstein has been this pervert for like 15 or 20 years, and all of a sudden he's being arrested. Well, maybe there are changes on the horizon, and one of them will be Donald Trump in his second term reversing the Communications Act.
Are you concerned? Let me ask you a quick question about that. Are you concerned about Disney buying up Fox News? I mean, that just seems so surreal to me. Now Disney's going to be running the news?
It looks like Disney's always run the news. Have you ever gotten any news anywhere? I could tell you an absolutely hilarious story about the one time that I was...
We got about 40 seconds to the break. So whatever you want to talk about, we got 40 seconds. Go ahead.
Well, there are so many other things to talk about. I mean, I love telling you the show business stories. Maybe instead of that, when we get back, I will tell you how I accidentally became Frank Sinatra's private writer.
I'd love to hear that.
Okay, there you go.
There's the music. We're talking to John Barber, John Barber's World. And spell your last name, B-A-R-B-O-U-R, correct, John?
That's it.
Okay, johnbarbersworld.com is his website. The Garrison tape, all that is on his website, and you can check that out. Stay tuned. ThePowerHour.com. We'll be more with John Barber.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Foods, Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong. Now, you can give your body and your immune system a mega boost of disease-fighting oxygen with all-natural Oxy-C. With so many people now leading a sedentary indoor lifestyle, most are in a chronic state of oxygen deprivation, which sets up a perfect environment for disease, general fatigue, and a host of other symptoms. Oxy-C is yours in simple, convenient capsules. Nothing to mix, nothing to hassle with. Take it with juice or water anytime. Feel a cold or flu approaching? Have no energy or spark anymore? Try all-natural Oxy-C and prepare to be amazed. Oxy-C is only available from New Earth Health Solutions at Rents.com. Look for the New Earth banner at Rents.com.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Humana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high-fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy, and Humana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America-made just for you. Food storage I love to eat. Yum!
If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you'll know that Fukushima, the greatest calamity in history, has now, as I've been warning since 3/11, killed off virtually the whole North Pacific Ocean and especially up and down the entire West Coast. The radiation is migrating inland and is moving across the entire country. There's only one proven defender to radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kiriak, which combines the four most potent and powerful algaes on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as Bio's Superfood. I've taken Bio's Superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rents.com and prepare to learn how to save your life.
Hi, it's Catherine from the Power Hour. If you're one of the many millions of people who have difficulty falling asleep, staying asleep, or having unrestful sleep throughout the night, REM sleep could be the solution you've been searching for. If you are like me and are afraid of the dangerous side effects from prescription sleep aids, REM sleep is an all-natural alternative that contains ingredients research has shown to help improve and enhance better sleep. REM sleep will get you the deep sleep you need to feel your best and will ensure you wake up feeling energized. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today.
Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? Thepowermall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com today.
Welcome back to the Power Hour. Thepowermall.com. That's where all the great products to help you life, help your life, to bless your life. This week we have free shipping on REM Sleep, REM Sleep, and Strauss Heart Drops. Another Canadian is going to be here tomorrow. Wayne Elliott will be here to talk about the Strauss Heart Drops. We have free shipping. And also, we're doing an auto ship. We have plenty of stock of all these. We're keeping these. We're changing the way we're doing things at the Power Mall. When you want some of the you know, the best-selling things we have, we're going to have it. I know sometimes our inventory fluctuates back and forth, but we're going to have it. That's a commitment that we've made to you. So those things, we're going to do auto ship. If you do auto ship, you get free shipping, which is a good savings. So auto ship, free shipping. The Strauss Heart Drops, the REM Sleep, that over at the Power Mall. Of course, any order over $50, you get a free copy of our book that we can ship together with your order. So it's a great book, especially 4th of July just here, the American heritage, who we are, this American ideal. As you listen to John, you know it's not taught to you in school. You know it's not taught to you on TV, or you don't hear it much, hardly at all on TV. So where are you going to get it? And if we lose it, then we've lost it. But if it's in your hearts, it's in your minds, it's part of who you are, then nobody can ever take it away. It's bulletproof. And ideas shape this country. They shape our history. They shape events. And the ideal of who you are, the freedom within you, that spark of reason, the creator-given rights that the Declaration of Independence pronounces, protects, and so many people died for, is the American ideal. And so the question is to you, what are you going to do about it? So that's what this book addresses. And the Power Mall, thank you so much for your support, your purchases, your donations, your prayers. We don't get checks from George Soros or any of those other people. We get checks from you. And that's what keeps us independent. And independent, clear thought. People like John on here, you can totally see the uniqueness of a guest like this and what we've been able to accomplish here because of you. So thank you so much. ThePowerMall.com, ThePowerMall.com, 877-817-9829, 877-817-9829. Back to John. John, you know, we're going to have you on again soon in a couple months, maybe towards the end of next month. Catherine, if you're listening, get a hold of John towards the end of next month. We'll have him on again. Sinatra, obviously a mammoth media figure in America, in the world, really, for decades. Tell us about your meeting him and how you became his personal writer.
Oh, I certainly will. And I was inspired by something you said during the break. So this is my last comment on why America is so dumbed down. And it's dumbed down deliberately. The Vietnam War was lost, not because we realized it was an illegal war. It was lost because Americans by the millions took to the streets. They voted for a democracy with their feet and their bodies, and many of them were beat up and hurt, especially in Chicago. And the reason that happened is because middle-class children were coming back in body bags because there was a draft. So the people that planned this war and the people that own this country said, well, we can't have a draft again. So they got rid of the draft. But where are they going to get the cannon fodder? They are going to get the cannon fodder by dumbing down America. And they do that first by getting rid of jobs. And then they dumb down the colleges. And so when people are graduating, and I know kids who are graduating as honor students and have to join the military because there are no more jobs for them. And so that is what happened to America. Mm. And it has to be remedied. Now back to the business of France.
Well, let's stay on that. You've lived a long life and seen a lot, and you've been privy to a certain perspective in America most people probably didn't, and know people and contact people. I mean, what is your sense of America and where we are, where this is going? Can we turn this? What is the ideal that will turn it? What is the thing that we must hold on to? What? Let's further go down that road.
The most important thing, I think, in human existence is individuality. I think if you look at the entire history of the human race, nothing was accomplished by a crowd or a corporation or a government. Everything was forwarded, whether it was science or music or literature, no matter what it was, art, it was always the individual. Now, America constantly brags about being a country of individuals, but it is not. It is not. Individuality in America is very, very hard to achieve. And they will shoot down those people who are truly individualistic. One thing that America has to get back to is to praising individuals. I mean, this country was founded by two disparate people. The intellectual founder of the country, of course, was Thomas Paine, the son of an English shoemaker who wrote Common Sense. Sold 50,000 copies and gave every cent to George Washington to feed his troops. Then you have Thomas Jefferson, the greatest intellectual outside of John Kennedy to hold office as president and the principal drafter of the Constitution. Here's one of the wealthiest men in America writing laws to protect those people like myself from the wealthy like him. And that's what America has to get back to. Whether it's going to do that or not, I don't know. Because nobody, absolutely no one, can ever predict the future. Now, I have a couple of things that I could talk to you about. I could talk to you about...
Let me ask you a further question. Let me ask you a follow-up on this. Now, I read in your book, it's not like you're Bible-believing... preacher or Bible-believing Christian, not at all. You're probably the opposite of somebody would characterize you. But what you just said, see, I would characterize myself as a Christian. But where we can completely agree and where we completely meet, and this is what I've been laboring really diligently or trying to our audience. The only unifying principles in America is the Declaration of Independence, is the Bill of Rights. That is the only, this idea like, oh, we're divided and we have to unite. There is only one place to unite in America where, people who are religious, people who are non-religious, people who like individualism, people who maybe don't necessarily, but just want to be free. The only place to meet is at the Declaration of Independence, and this is the most important political document we've seen, at least since the Ten Commandments. Your thoughts?
Well, you're absolutely right on that. I mean, the thing that bothers me is when I hear that all our soldiers... Now, listen, I heard Trump say a month ago that we'll never have socialism here. What is the largest socialist organization in the world, in America? It's the military. You'd have 3 million people in uniform and only one person has freedom of speech, and that's a commander-in-chief. That's socialism. They're protected from cradle to grave, okay? And the thing that bothers me is I hear that they're out there fighting for our freedoms.
Oh, boy.
They're out there mostly fighting for our corporations.
Amen.
And for Halliburton. What they have to be fighting for and made clear only is the Constitution of the United States. That is everything. This is, oh, my God, there's a great, great story in the book. I don't have time to tell you. You should read it. Well, I've been deported twice. I've been told by the greatest lawyers in America I will never get back into the country. And I was able to get them to reinterpret the criminal laws in Canada to give me permission to enter the United States. I knew everything about America. I had said, and that's because the first time I was deported, I tried to escape the immigration authorities from Terminal Island in San Pedro on a Wednesday, and everything was closed because it was July 4th. So I got trapped. I got caught. It's a hilarious story in the book. But I was prepared when the Consul General in Toronto was going to interview me to answer everything about the number of senators, the number of congressmen, the laws, the wars, the presence, everything. And I was totally unprepared for the question she asked. And guess what the question was?
Go ahead. I don't know.
John, why do you want to go to the United States? And I was dumbfounded. I was totally unprepared for it. And so I went on with this rant that I started with you about the only country in the world made up of every other country in the world, the only country in the world that was built on a law, a crafted law, the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And I talked about Thomas Paine and Thomas Jefferson. And I talked about falling in love with Frank Capra's Mr. Smith Goes to Washington and Jimmy Stewart. I went on and on and on. And she granted me permission to come back to the country. So.
You obviously, it meant a lot to you to come to America. We see many people throughout the world, especially our southern border, they're flooding our border trying to get into the United States. We hear people inside of America talking about what a terrible country this is. There is no American exceptionalism. There is nothing unique about this country. It disgusts me. But talk about your feeling as an immigrant. I mean, why does everybody want to come here if it's such a terrible place?
Because it's headquarters. Everything else in the world is a branch office. America is the headquarters for individual freedom. And that's all you have to know. And that's what people want to pursue. And, you know, there are a lot of things wrong with the country. I mean, I think half of the government should be in jail because they support.
Half?
Because they support student
loans. That's low.
You know, student loans are absolutely and totally criminal.
Yes.
You know that if you have a student loan, you cannot discharge it with bankruptcy. And if you die, your family has to pay off that loan. Those people who enacted that law should be imprisoned for usury, for crying out loud. Well, there's
for indentured servitude. That's slavery.
It is. And then look at this flock of people in the Northeast last week took caravans up to Canada to buy insulin. Because it's about one fraction of what it costs down here. I mean, we live in a corporatocracy. Chris Hedges has said that. Every political scientist in America says we do not have a republic. We do not have a democracy. We have a corporatocracy. And we indeed do. And for the Supreme Court to rule that corporations are individuals is a fraud.
Oh, my gosh. Amen.
And the other thing, the other fraud is to say that money is free speech is a fraud. Because that means more people have free speech because they have more money. And that is anti-democratic and that is anti-American. I'm still trying to get us back to Sinatra, but I don't know that.
Well, okay, let's get back to Sinatra. We're going to have you on again. We can talk more of this. I think the most evil, I've said this on air several times, the most evil thing, I'll end here. the most evil thing I have ever heard at a out of a politician's mouth, at least in public, ever, is when Mitt Romney said corporations are people too. And when he said,
agreed with him.
I agree. When he said that, what he did was he made every one of us a child of our creator. That's what the law says. The Declaration of Independence says in America, our creator created us. He just put us at the level of corporations, a created servitude at the behest of a corporate structure. And there is nothing more evil that I've ever heard from a politician. And it's taking away your divinity, your divine spark, your reason, your everything about you, everything that makes you, you. He just took it apart and put it in a box so that the government could control it in that sentence. Nothing is more evil.
Well, did you happen to watch the PGA golf tournament played in Milwaukee yesterday, Sunday? Did you have to watch the final round?
I did not, but go ahead. Tell me.
you wonder why I'm saying this. I'm going to tell you how absolutely important it is and how much it reinforces what it is you were saying. There was a kid out there. His name was Matt Wolf, 20 years of age. And 2 weeks ago, he was playing college golf. And this is like his second or third professional golf tournament. He has by far the worst, most unathletic, ugliest golf swing you have ever seen. He jiggles his body and his legs like he's going to be Chuck Berry and do a dance or something. And then he whips the club way out and over his shoulder. And it looks like it's Babe Ruth and he's going to hit a baseball. I mean, it's just the ugliest thing in the world. On the very last hole, which was a par five, he was one shot behind the leader and he's lying in the fringe in two. And if he gets down in two, he gets into a playoff. The kid chips it into the hole with this horrible swing and wins the tournament. And I posted on my Facebook that the most important thing in the world is to be an individual. Because if you're an individual in anything, it is everything. And that kid is going to change the face of golf because of his golf swing. There is nothing more important than what's inside the individual. And if you're out of the crowd and you let it blossom, you know, Joseph Campbell, he wrote The Power of Myth. His last name is Campbell. I think it's Joseph Campbell. He said, if you follow your joy, you will have doors open in the universe to help you that you didn't even know existed.
It's a great line.
You mentioned to me the fact that you're a Christian, and that's fantastic. That's wonderful. You believe it makes you a better person. That's great. And you don't go around trying to convert everybody else and proselytizing. That is even better. You believe it enough yourself. Me, I am a non-believer. I believe in absolutely nothing. I either know something or I don't know something. But one of the things that I do know, and if you read the book, you will see, I have been divinely blessed. And I don't know where it comes from. Because as a non-believer, I can't believe that. But when you see in the book how that all of a sudden things fell out of the universe to help me when there was no help anyplace else. And I can only call it divine intervention. And it's a fact. And I know that this existed because it happened to me, so it's a fact. But I do not know where it came from, so I can't believe any further than that.
Hmm. On that note, we have 8 minutes to talk about Sinatra.
I'll try to make it quick. I was the first person to do movie reviews on television, and one of the at this time. There was a movie came out called Great Gatsby from Paramount. Barry Diller from Paramount said it was going to be the greatest movie ever. It was a dreadful film. Quite honestly, it was beautifully photographed. Story was told badly. Anyway, he was so proud of this film movies at the time were getting $3 to get in. He said, we're going to change it to $6, and Paramount is going to become rich again selling Gatsby clothing, because at the time there were Gatsby parties all over Beverly Hills and Bel Air and everywhere. So anyway, when I reviewed the film, I said, the only way Barry Diller is going to get $6 for this film, if they charge $3 to get in and $3 to get out. Anyway, Time Magazine picked it up, and I got a call from George Slaughter. George Slaughter was the co-creator of Laugh-In. Remember it with Roland Martin?
Yes.
3 years, one of the great comedies in America, and destroyed by Slaughter because he was jealous that Rowan and Martin became the stars. So sadly, it only lasted 3 years. Anyway, he was given a deal by NBC to do 4 more Laugh-In specials, and he agreed to do it, but he said, I'm not having a star. I'm just going to have different people all the time. And it was a show that was going to introduce, Robin Williams. Anyway, he called me, and he asked me if he could have that line from the review and other lines that I'd written. And I said, certainly, take them. And then I said to him, hey, George, you know, nothing in Laugh-In is more than like 8 or 10 seconds. Why don't you let me come on as your critic at large, which I do here? I'll write my own jokes, and you can pay me minimum as a writer and a performer. And he said, you're hired. So myself and Digby and George wrote the 4 specials. And Frank Sinatra was to be a guest. Now, there were no audience for the show. Everything was canned. And when I knew Sinatra was coming, of course, I went to the back of the theater because I didn't want to be too close to him because he had a reputation for being tough. So he comes on the stage, and he's with 5 or 6 people. And George hands him a couple of pieces of paper of jokes. And Francis looks at it, crumples up, who wrote this crap? And he throws it on the floor. Very tough. Then finally, Dig said to him, Mr. Sinatra, take a look at this. So he takes a look at the sheet that I wrote, and he starts to giggle. And there are jokes about New Jersey and crooks and stuff like that. And he said, that's pretty good. Who wrote this? Digby points to me. He said, John up there. So he looks up at me. He said, hey, kid, come here. Now I'm 44. He's calling me kid. So I come downstairs, and when he sees me close up, he says, hey, you're that critic with Tom Snyder on the news. Now, I knew that he hated Rex Reed. I knew he absolutely hated Rex Reed. So when he said that, I said to him, yes, Mr. Sinatra, I'm known as the heterosexual Rex Reed. Well, he screamed. And then he said, well, give me some more of those jokes. And then Digby said, you know, he's got a comedy album called It's Tough to Be White. And Sinatra laughs again, and he said, have you got that album? I said, no, I couldn't show it to you. Got a bad review, and it's not doing well. He said, give it to me. So I gave him the album. 3 days later, I got a typed letter, which if we were on camera, I'd show you the letters on my wall, saying that I was his, I was going to be his opening act, and I was going to work with him. So in any event, he calls me, and he said, I need to write letters to the editor. I need to write jokes and stuff like that. I haven't got time to do it. I'll give you $1,000 for each one you do. And I said, I'd do it for nothing. He said, if you don't take the money, you won't do it at all. So I took the money, and every time I got it, he'd send me 10 brand new $100 bills. So one day, when he's talking to me about going on tour with him in his office, nothing in his office that said he was in show business. Not a picture on the wall, not a plaque, nothing. He was just the simplest, sweetest man dressed very casually. And I told him I couldn't go on tour with him as much as I loved, because my son was a junior Caucasian Tiger Woods, and I never had a father, so I wanted to make sure my son had a father. I thought he was going to hug me and kiss me. And he thought that was so terrific. And he said, well, you know, I want to work with you. So I said, you know what you should do, Mr. Sinatra? And he said, Francis is my name to my friends. I said, you should do an Italian roots. And he said, what's that? I said, well, you remember Conte Quinte on ABC, biggest show on television? I'm sure, Daniel, you remember it.
Yes.
I said, well, what I'd like to do is I'd like to come to your place in Palm Springs, sit you down for months or the weekends. I will never be on camera in the finished product, but I'm going to ask you to tell the story of your entire life, everything. your friends, your enemies. I will find people who've been married to your songs. And also I'll find some enemies. And then I told him the first time I saw him when I was 17, he was with Sam Giancana at the Calneva Lodge. And he leaned over and said, "Kid, you got balls." Because at the time, he was running around Nevada saying he didn't even know who Sam Giancana was because they were challenging his license at the Sands Hotel. So he said, "How much do you want to do this?" And I said, "Are you kidding? I'd be honored to do it. You'd be the only person in American entertainment history." I said, "Because, you know, Crosby died at 77 on a golf course and we never hear from them. But you were a social force and a political force. If you and your mob that you had with Dean and Joey and the rest of them hadn't sung High Hopes, John Kennedy would have never been president of the United States. You have a social impact that Crosby never had." He said, "Careful of my eyeball, kid." And I said, "So you'll be the only person to ever do a visual autobiography. And it'll run Monday through Fridays, an hour every night. Nobody will be watching anything else, but you tell your story." And he stared at me and he said, "How much do you want?" I said, "I don't want anything." He said, "I'll give you whatever you want." I said, "10%. He said, "No, you're not getting 10%. I'll give you 20%. Write it up and give it to Dorothy, my secretary." I wrote it up and he got it. 10 days later, he called me and he said, "When can we start?" I said, "I don't know." He said, "What do you mean you don't know?" He said, "I just accidentally got real people on NBC.
Oh, my gosh. Unbelievable. Wow. And then there's the music. That's a great lead for next time you're on, John. John Barber, johnbarbersworld.com. The book is Your Mother's Not a Virgin, The Bumpy Life and Times of the Canadian Dropout Who Changed the Face of American TV. Excellent read, excellent story. Look, you don't have to read the whole thing. You can just read story by story. It goes just like he's talking here. Fascinating. John, it is a pleasure to meet you again, to talk to you again, and we look forward to having you on here in a couple months.
Oh, I look forward to it, Daniel. We'll become regulars.
Yes, very good. God bless you, my friend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much, Daniel. Bye-bye.
Larry Pinkney tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, with Wayne Elliott. Larry Pinkney. Wow. Great week of shows that we have lined up. We'll see you soon. Have a great evening. God bless you. God keep you. See you tomorrow.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Foods, Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Dr. Joe Schneller.
The efficacy that we're looking for, that we're going to prove, is that carnivora wakes up this immune system and makes it dominant.
I highly recommend that you get started right away using carnivora because it really will help you. Just follow the directions as the company gives them to you. And I just want everybody to know that there's been no one paid to do this. I'm doing this on my own because I care about everybody and want to see healthy people.
My husband has recovered tremendously after the physician suggested that he start taking carnivora. When he was doing so well, I decided to start taking it as well, and we're both so pleased to be able to feel healthy again.
Hello, folks. Richard Ostro of Carnivora Research International here. Visit carnivora.com or call 1-866-VENUS-FLY. That's carnivora.com or 1-